Calpurnia Adams of Transamerican Love Story. And when I'm not looking for the next hot guy to have a good social conversation with, I'm listening to feastoffools.net.
The Feast of Fools Gay Fun Show is brought to you by gorgeous support of handsome, fabulous, beautiful, and intelligent listeners just like you.
Without your support, we really couldn't do this show, so please visit feastoffools.net, make a donation, buy a t-shirt, because we can't do this show without your help.
Your financial contributions mean the world to us. Why? Because without you,
we're nothing.
This is the podcast that uses the voice you want to use.
The Feast of Fools.
On today's show, we have Calpurnia Adams, Peabody Award winner, Gulf War veteran, actress and entertainer, known for her fabulous song Stunning from her television reality series Transamerican Love Story, a revolutionary elimination dating show featuring Calpurnia Adams, a trans woman, searching for romance and maybe love out of a group of handsome, eligible bachelors.
Listen as we talk to Calpurnia about which questions you should never ask a transsexual.
Listen to her force-feminized Fausto's voice.
Calpurnia's showgirl past in Chicago.
And Calpurnia shares with us the painful experience of the brutal murder of her boyfriend, Private Barry Winchell, at the hands of his fellow soldiers.
I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And we're joined here by the fabulous Kennedy Monroe.
Hello.
And you're listening to the music of Calpurnia Adams. This is a song, Stunning, of course, which you hear it all the time on the show. And you can find more about it on our website, feastoffools.net.
Stay tuned.
Hello.
Hi, are you feeling stunning, darling?
Stunning.
Hey, this is Fausto Furnos.
And Mark Fillion from the Feast of Fools podcast.
Hi, Calpurnia Adams.
Hi, guys. Thank you all for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And we're joined here by Kennedy. Kennedy, I don't know what your last name is.
Monroe.
Oh, that's right. Kennedy Monroe, one of your biggest fans. I mean, stalkers. I mean, fans.
Fan, stalker, stalker fan.
I prefer stalkers because, you know, they're always there for you.
That's right.
What are you wearing, darling?
Well, actually, I'm putting on a cute little cocktail dress because shortly I'm going to be going to a Hollywood party.
Really? Ooh, fancy.
You live in Hollywood.
Hollywood.
So what, I mean, can you give us a little taste of who's going to be at this party, or is it a top secret?
Well, it's in LA Magazine's 10th anniversary celebration, and they sort of go hand in hand with Frontiers Magazine. So just all kinds of people featured in their magazine over the years will be there.
So is there any etiquette that if we ever went to a stunning party like this that we should keep in mind?
I would just say always mind where the snack platters are coming out, because you have to get to them quickly to get your hors d'oeuvres, or else everybody just takes them down.
Oh. So, Calpurnia, we're just stunned by your song, Stunning.
And, oh, y'all are so sweet.
And we want to know sort of like what was the genesis to make this song? Because I noticed that on your TV show, Transamerican Love Story, the Southern cook, Barry, who got kicked off, refers to you as stunning time and time again. Was that the inspiration?
Well, actually, we just, all of the kids back in Nashville just always said, stunning to everything. We were just like, you know, oh, here's some biscuits and gravy, stunning. Or, oh, here's my new $5,000 dress, stunning. And it was just something we said all the time. So I still say it all the time. And I had to write a song for the show because in episode 5, I do a little performance for the guys. And they were like, you know, why don't you throw a song together for us? And I was like, well, okay.
And that's where you did Stunning.
Yeah, I just sat down in a coffee shop and I thought, you know, what do I love, Stunning, and what is the most outrageous things I can say about myself?
Because I just love it. It's a wonderful song.
Okay, Calpurnia, I have to ask you something. All the men and women on the show want to know, who is Vinny 9x7? Is that Vin Diesel you're talking about?
That's Vin Diesel, one of my Hollywood crushes.
Crushes meaning like you actually hung out with him and he's like hasn't returned the calls or what?
Or not, and also the 9x7 is the 9th, the height or the width, or the 7 is which is which? What comes first, width or height?
I'm not sure exactly. Whatever the Craigslist personals etiquette is on the numerical order, but I'm kidding, everyone, kidding. But
so you hooked up with Vin Diesel on Craigslist, then it was hot.
Well, I would never say that I've hooked up with Vin Diesel or anything, but
except in a song.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, he asked you where will you be, and you said you were on TV.
He said, "Where will you be at?" I pointed to the TV and said, "On that."
Actually, but in the video, you actually hold up an iPod and you say, "On that."
How did you hook up with Robbie D, who remixed "Stunning" into a fabulous disco wonderment?
Well, I went out one night in LA, and there was a floor show happening, and out pops on the stage this just like mind-boggling entertainer. And it turned out that it was Jer-Bear Jones, which is Robbie D's drag persona. And Jer-Bear is just crazy, over-the-top, wild. And I was stunned. I was truly stunned. And Jer-Bear has this great song called Boobs. And she sings about Shake Them Dirty Pillows. And I'm a big Carrie fan. So I was like, Dirty Pillows, I love it.
Are you saying you're telekinetic in some sense? Because I think if you actually had the ability to move knives around, you'd be a little dangerous.
If I did, there would be some drama. Let's just say everyone should be glad I can't move knives with my mind.
Okay, so Trans-American Love Story is a revolutionary elimination dating show showing you, the trans woman of the modern day, searching for love and romance. And it's produced by World of Wonder. You and your gal pal, Andrea James, hang out and dish it up about these contestants. How do they find these guys?
They said that it was one of the hardest castings that they've ever done because so few guys are brave enough to date a trans woman publicly. You know, they're willing to date us if nobody knows, or they're willing to date us if nobody ever sees, but these guys had to be willing to date me on television and introduce me to their parents and all kinds of things. So,
Who do you feel was the most uncomfortable that's been kicked off so far?
All the guys that have left so far were pretty cool. I mean, Rich didn't have a lot of experience dating trans women. I think Barry was a little more open to the idea. Perhaps he had some experience. And, of course, Blaine, the first guy, that's all he dates. But
Well, I thought it was sort of telling that you guys kicked off Blaine, and I guess was there something that we didn't get to see? Because it appears that the reason he got kicked off is because he produced porn that wasn't very popular. Trans porn.
Well, I mean, I have porn. I look at porn. I have nothing against porn. But trans women in particular tend to get exploited by pornographers, I think, quite a bit. And it was just kind of a personal turnoff to me that he had a porno site with his girlfriend as the featured model. And it was a turnoff to me that he only dated trans women.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, I want a guy who dates me because I'm cool, not because I'm a transsexual.
And you thought if you were to date him too, he might try and turn you out?
Well, he might try. I don't know if he's ever dealt with this before, but.
Well, does it feel like a little bit awkward being the prize pig of the fair, you know? So is that
the bell
like,
of the ball.
The bell of the ball.
Not the prize pig.
And everybody wants to know, is like, how can I become the prize in one of these type of shows? I mean, how did the whole genesis of the program come to be? It's like you said, you were single at the time.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of strange for me because I'm kind of shy and... It was very hard for me to have eight guys putting their hearts on the line for me, you know, and me having to turn them down and stuff. I felt really bad with almost each one. But, you know, I had been talking to World of Wonder, and they were like, you know, we really think you're cool. We want to find something to do with you. And the writer's strike was going on, so they couldn't do anything with a written script. So they said, well, let's do a dating show.
And?
and we did. I went in and they, you know, hooked up with World of Wonder, who produced Trans Generations and all kinds of really good GLBT content. And they just started the ball rolling.
Well, is Andrea kind of jealous, though? I mean, because she's, like, single, too, and, you know, it's like she's your best friend. But she says she's getting your scraps.
we said that her spinoff would be called Sloppy Seconds, and she could just sort of...
I like that. So how does a transsexual girl like me get on a show like that? How can I be stunning, Calpurnia?
Well, you're already stunning. You just need the right vehicle to share that with more people.
Like a Mack truck.
There you go. I like that.
Now, the most unpopular contestant on the show's website is trans writer Jim, who when you first met him, you didn't think he was trans at all.
It's really surprising to me that people are voting Jim down, and I wonder if it's just like a little group of a few people that's doing it or what. He's very sweet and very romantic, and I think he's handsome. And, you know, I don't think he's any worse than any of the other guys to be voted down like that. But I suppose, you know, they have to pick somebody who they like and don't like.
Well, do you feel that's fair? I mean, because I like him, and I feel like they're keeping Jim and the obnoxious wrestler Mark on the show. Just to create drama. I mean, do you feel like hesitation when you say, you know, you're just not going to make it, sweetie? You really would like to keep that person on, but it's not good television.
Well, but the choices that I made in the show are often the result of a lot of things. You know, you don't get to see everything that's going on, so it's you know, sometimes my choices might look a little bewildering, but Jim is interesting to me, and I feel like he and I have a lot to talk about and a lot to share and figure out, so I kept him there. Rich, you know, Rich was super hot, had a stunning body, but I just could tell immediately that there was no sexual chemistry. You know, he was covering his body up on the yacht and not...
Rich is the personal trainer from Chicago, or the yoga instructor?
Rich is the yoga instructor.
Oh, you kicked him off? This interview's over.
I love Rich. He was sexy.
Rich, if you're listening, give me a call. Chicago.
Now you can give me a call.
How?
He was fine. Why'd you kick him off? Because he was too short?
No. I am a lot taller than Rich, but that's my fault, not his. And he's awesome. You know, we're still in touch. I'm going to take a yoga class from him. But, you know, we got on that yacht together in the last episode, and, you know, I was in this cute little outfit, and he was in a little Speedo, and we had to crawl into a bed together, and I thought, well, here it goes. You know, let's get this a-rolling. And he covered himself up from head to toe with a robe and talked about baseball and finances the whole time.
What?
What's up with that?
A yoga instructor?
Well, I know. I was looking for some flexibility.
I know. You would have been doing like the downward dog or something.
Yes. Amen. It's like he said, you know, because he got into all sorts of crazy positions. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah. I would have loved to have taken that for a ride.
Calpurnia, back to Jim 1 minute. Because you're a trans woman and he's a trans man, do you think you two have a lot more in common than you would have with a heterosexual man or biological man?
A BB man.
There you go, BB man.
And now we're not talking about bodybuilding or barebacking.
What are you talking about?
A biological buddy.
Oh, boy. But
a boy, yeah. But
well, with Jim, you know, if I'm not saying who I did or didn't end up with, but if I were to end up with Jim, you know, we could certainly come home after a hard day's work and never really have to think about the trans thing. You know, we'd never have to say, gosh, does he think it's weird? Is he going to freak out about it someday after he thinks about it? Or, you know, because we've both been through it. But then again, you know, that's the good side. And the bad side is, do I really want to double the transsexuality in my life? You know.
How do you mean? What do you mean by doubling, though? It's like a, well, it's like a kind of gum that you get, or
double mint.
Well, double, you know, a lot of my life, I have to worry about hormones and you know, legal things and all the activism I do and stuff. And if I, you know, end up with a regular straight guy, then I'm going to get to spill over into his little straight world sometimes too. If I end up with a trans guy, then his whole world is trans. My whole world is trans.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that.
So do you think that some people, like, that's sort of like the burden for a lot of trans individuals is to wanting to be in a world where they can live beyond the gravity of their biology and legal situations?
Yeah, because, you know, anybody I date is going to be taking on a lot of stuff. You know, they're going to have to deal with the activism I do and all that public stuff, but they're also just going to have to deal with the daily, you know, little things that come with me being trans.
Calpurnia, do you ever regret getting the procedure done to become a celebrity?
You thought we were going to
ask
you something.
The hard work you put into it.
The hard work, yes, not...
Do you mean, do I ever regret, like, being so out?
Yeah, so
yes,
visible.
There you go.
Well, do I wish that I could have been born a girl, you know, not have to go through this? Yes. But if I could change my past so that, you know, my boyfriend had not been killed, then, you know, I would certainly do that. And... Because that's what really put me in the public eye to such a high level. And since that could not be undone, I decided to use that publicity for as much good as I could. But I've always been a showgirl. I've always been an entertainer and stuff. So even if I were not out at all, I'd still be in a theater somewhere or singing somewhere or whatever.
Because you used to actually perform here in Chicago at one point in time. You worked at the Baton?
Well, I worked at the Kit Kat Club.
Okay. Get out of here, really?
I did. I was there for a year.
Shout out to Chef Matt Stovey, who's listening, who's a pop, fan of the show. Now, Calpurnia, you on your website, you put a lot of energy in creating these fabulous videos, online videos, on YouTube and other online communities, video forums, and you created one that I thought was kind of very striking, which was questions not to ask, and you know, which is a longer list than things not to talk about than Beyonce gives you before she comes on a show. And which, of course, you know, I wasn't really contemplating any of them, but now that you brought them up, it makes me want to think about it. Which is, you know, it's like you're. I mean, what was the whole point of putting that together? Which is questions about your biology, your sex change, your gender identity, and why they're sort of like retarded to ask you.
Right. Well, you know, I understand that people are curious, and, you know, I ask questions, too, to get my information. But after a while, you know, after 10 years or so, the questions just start to seem stupider, and I get tireder and tireder of answering them. And a lot of times they come with a little twist of condescension or a little twist of insult. And I just figured, you know, I've spent enough time biting the bullet and sort of letting people annoy me to help them. And Now I want to have a little fun. I want to say what I think.
I think it's a good idea, though. Mm-hmm. So we always get asked really stupid questions ourselves, too.
All the time. But your one in particular, though, that I think really struck me is you explain to our listeners why it is that you shouldn't ask a transsexual person what their name was before they had the SRS or started changing their gender identity.
Well, everybody wants to know this. It's one of the top questions that people ask. And, you know, some trans women don't care. They're perfectly fine with telling people. And, you know, all of us have people who know it because we had a life before transition anyway. But, for me personally, it hurts my feelings when people use my old name because it's a way of calling me a man. It's a way of tearing down my current identity and it's just hurtful, you know. There's no need for it.
Do you think it might turn your identity into a character, as opposed to, you know, who you are as a person?
Well, it says to me that they don't take my identity as real or as important. You know, they think it's just some you know costume I've put on, but they want to know the real me, like. And this is the real me. The name I was given at birth is something that was stuck onto me by people who didn't even know me, my parents. you know, nobody knows you when you're first born. You haven't done anything to let them know you. It's just hurtful, and I get tired of that question.
So when you told your mom and dad that your new name was going to be, or your real name is going to be Calpurnia Adams, what was their reaction to it?
Well, they don't accept me at all, and they don't use my name. And my middle name is Sarah. And amongst my family, I tried to get them to call me Sarah because I thought, you know, that's a little bit more of a normal-sounding name, and maybe it won't be so scary for them. And my brother and sister call me Sarah to my face, but when I'm not around, they still use my old name, too.
Because I got a weird name, and I've always had to bear the burden of having an awkward name. But, you know, why don't just get your brothers and sisters to call you Calpurnia?
Well, I'm at the point now where I'm fine with them calling me whatever. You know, as long as Calpurnia or Sarah, not my boy name. Just because... You know, early in my transition, I was walking on eggshells trying to, you know, oh, well, Sarah will be easier for them. It'll make them more comfortable. And I'm coming to the point now, 10 years into it, that they haven't made half the effort that I have. So I'm kind of just like, you know, F you. I'm going to do what makes me feel good now because I gave you 10 years and you never came around.
Being transsexual, my family still calls me my boy name, too. So I think, to me, it's a little bit harder because they grew up calling you one thing, and then now, after 20-something years, you tell them to call you something else. And I understand it's hard. So what advice would you give to transsexual women out there to deal... How can they deal with it with their families?
It's hard. You know, I understand that for a parent, you have a baby and you look at that little baby boy or baby girl and you start building dreams for that child and you build dreams for them your whole life, you know. So it's hard for parents, but I can just hope that, you know, if they have enough love in their hearts that they'll support the child's soul no matter what the name is, you know. I would just hope that they'd make that effort to use the new name because they love their child.
Let's talk about a little bit about the tragedy that propelled you into the public eye. Calpurnia, can you tell me a little bit about... I know we've seen it in the wonderful made-for-TV movie?
Showtime.
It was a Showtime movie called Soldier's Girl. What went through your mind when you learned about the brutal murder of your lover, Private Barry Winchell, at the hands of his fellow soldiers?
Well, in 1999, I was an established showgirl in Nashville, and I had a regular gig, you know, doing 10 shows a week at a giant club and stuff, and I was in the middle of my transition, and I met Barry, a soldier, at nearby Fort Campbell at the club, and we dated. And eventually, you know, two of his fellow soldiers killed him in his sleep for sort of a mixture of anti-gay bias and other craziness. And, you know, it happened 9 years ago, and it was the worst time of my life, certainly the most tragic thing to ever happen in my life. But, you know, I don't know. I can't hardly remember what I thought when I learned that Barry had been killed. I saw it on the morning news, and I wasn't allowed to go to his memorial service on base or anything. And it was a horrible, horrible time, but, you know, the movie Soldier's Girl tells the story so eloquently that I'm glad it's out there to sort of be a good memorial for him.
You were there while the movie was being filmed.
I was in Toronto the whole time on set. Most every scene I'm right off camera, just sort of, you know, off to the side. Of course, you don't see me.
Because I thought I accidentally had tuned into it, and I thought I was watching an odd episode of Pushing Up Daisies.
Because
it stars the guy from Pushing Up Daisies.
Yeah, how do you feel about Lee Pace playing you? I mean, he's now becoming this big star, and I think it had a lot to do with playing you on film.
He did a wonderful job, you know. In a perfect world, I'd love to see trans women playing trans roles, but... you know, if a trans woman couldn't have been cast for that, and, you know, it was 5 years ago that came out, so things are a little better now. But, you know, Lee did a great job, and we've remained friends. He's a really great guy.
And you were in Trans America at the end of the movie, the cocktail party.
Yes, the good part about that was that Felicity Huffman found Andrea and me, and she hung out with us for 2 months. She came to our house over the course of 2 months, had us over for dinner and stuff to kind of get to know the trans vibe. And that was a really cool part for me.
Didn't y'all help her with her voice?
This is the voice I want to use. All came from you guys.
Yeah, at the very beginning of the movie is a clip of our voice video because we teach trans women how to get a better female voice.
So can you teach us over the phone, give us a little bit of a demonstration about that? How do I force feminize my voice?
Well, I can tell you the concept. And
okay.
The concept is all about resonance instead of pitch, because resonance is kind of like, you know, you can play the same note exactly on a violin and on a cello, and it's going to sound different because even though it's the same note, the violin has a smaller resonance chamber and the cello has a bigger resonance chamber. So we work on helping you get a female resonance in your voice. And once you have that, you know, pitch is important, but, you know, I can even talk all the way down here. And I think it still sounds pretty feminine because I'm using a female resonance. And that's why Kathleen Turner and Suzanne Plachet and stuff can get away with still sounding female, even though they have deep voices.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to sound like Lauren Bacall, and it's like decaffeinated coffee, like give me, let's do one exercise together, Calpurnia. Please.
I'm trying to think. Goodness,
my favorite time of the day is night. How can I say that in a very feminine way? Teach me, Obi-Wan of trans.
I'm trying to think. Like what would we do? One of our big exercises is going from pinched to breathy.
Okay, so if I talk
like Marilyn Monroe.
Hi.
Yeah. What that does is you don't want to always talk like Marilyn. You don't want to always talk like this, you know, because it sounds kind of fake.
Well, it makes you sound stupid, though, too.
Yeah. But what that exercise does is it helps you keep air moving through your voice box because a lot of drag queens move a lot of voice. Yeah.
Oh.
And because a lot of drag queens do a nasal pinched voice, and they're like this. Like, hey, girl, my name is Calpurnia Adams.
<Through their nose.
laughs> Hey, girl, my name is Delilah Bouvier.
So if I'm like, my favorite time of day is night.
So
is that good?
Are you saying, like, make your throat and mouth small?
Or boom, she says put a lot of air into it.
Okay.
Right?
Well, the trick is, I mean, you really have to work at this for a few months. But, you work on getting a resonance that is not pinching your throat closed. Because, like, I can talk like this and my throat is kind of pinched closed. But then, like doing the breathy exercise kind of teaches me to talk with my throat open. And then once you've learned that, you can dial out all that fake breathiness but still have your throat open.
You taking notes, Kennedy?
Yes,
Kennedy.
I'm taking lots of notes. I need a video.
Kennedy's just like, okay, and
okay.
Now what
okay,
do I
I'm writing
do?
Everything down,
you know,
really
Kennedy
fast.
Kennedy really does admire you. In fact, she actually did her own lip sync video of Stunning, which was featured on World of Wonder's blog.
I was shocked.
I was so flattered. Thank you for doing that, Kennedy.
You're so welcome. I love that song. But you know what the hard part was for me was, what the hell were you saying? So I had to sit and look at the lyrics and practice in the mirror.
I know. It's kind of hard lyrics. I want it to be funny, so I used a lot too many words.
And you talk really fast.
Now, do you have any other songs in the works? Like, because I think the music career is definitely going to start taking off.
I do. I'm working on two more dance songs, and I'm also working on an album of bluegrass gospel fiddle, because that's what I grew up playing.
A country girl right there. I'm a Southern Belle.
Honey, you are a triple threat. You're a fiddle player, a writer, actress, model, reality TV star.
That's more than a triple threat.
Yeah, there's five or six things there. So Trans-American Love Story, it's available on the iTunes Music Store. We've been talking about, you won a Peabody Award, right?
I did for my work on Soldier's Girl. I was very flattered to get that. It's a very respected award.
And you're a Gulf War veteran of the first Gulf War.
Yes, I was a combat medic in Saudi Arabia during the first Gulf War with the Marines.
So you got a bunch of medals too, and you're going to be writing about that in the future.
Yeah, I want to detail all that out. There's so many stories to tell. You know, I don't want to seem vain or anything, but I figure I'll put stuff on my site, and if people want to read it, they can read it.
That is so exciting. Calpurnia, you are so delightful, and we're so glad to be talking to you today. You're done.
Well, thank y'all.
Fabulous. We got the breakdown.
Yes, and I love you, girl.
2008. Hey, hey, hey. It's the breakdown 2008.
Yeah.
So Mark is actually going to ask you some questions.
So, Calpurnia, we have 20 questions here. It's, don't think about it too much. Just answer the questions. Okay. What's your favorite color?
Green.
What's the best thing that's happened to you recently?
I guess getting to make this show is the best thing.
Thank you. We appreciate having you on as a guest, too. What's the worst thing that happened to you recently?
Last night, a girl came up to me and said, "Your shoes are so pretty. Usually guys end up wearing big shoes."
Oh. I hope you're writing all these horrible things down.
Put I
in
am.
Your book.
So, like, there's a one-woman show, Calpurnia.
Calpurnia, how do you like your toast?
I like it toasted wheat with real butter.
Where do you feel most comfortable and happy?
In the woods of Tennessee.
Ooh.
Oh, you've been in Tennessee? Where
She's
is
from
it?
Tennessee.
But where in Tennessee? Woodbury?
Probably out on Radnor Lake.
All right. Ooh, shout out to Radnor Lake listeners over there. So what song did you hear recently you really enjoyed?
Fingernail Moon by Annie Lennox on her most recent album.
Ooh, I love Annie Lennox.
Calpurnia, did you have a pet growing up, and what was its name and species?
I did. I had a Doberman, and its name was Killer.
Ooh.
Fabulous. What's your best feature?
Your
eyes, your lips, your hips.
Most people have said nice things about my eyes, so I like that.
They're stunning.
They're stunning eyes. Yeah, I noticed that on the show. They were kept on, like, the guy who was looking at your breasts. What was his name? Wrestler Mark?
Mark.
Mark, yeah. Oh, you don't remember his name. We know
so
who did
weird.
Win.
I do. I can't.
But the show's been all taped, right?
Yes, it's all done.
Are you dating any of these guys now, or?
The winner of the show has been over and fixed me dinner, and we've continued to talk and stuff. So we're gonna see what happens.
Wow,
I like that. Uh-huh.
Well, Kalpurnia, where do you want to be in 5 years from now?
I would love to have several more independent films under my belt that have challenging roles in them.
And what is the biggest misconception people have about you?
I think everybody thinks that I'm a very serious and sad person because of the activism I've done, when actually I have a dark sense of humor, and I'm bouncy and funny and try to be sexy, and I hope that's coming out now.
Okay. What turns you on in another person?
The non-physical things are a sense of humor and a kind heart, and the physical things are a tall guy who's in shape.
Ooh. And that's why the yoga instructor Rich got kicked off.
he wasn't as tall as guys I usually date, but he was really nice and had a great body.
Yeah, and he's hanging out with us right now. Actually, hi Calpurnia.
Oh, hi Rich. Miss you.
If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
I would be 5'6".
Oh, who made a difference in your life?
China, my used to be drag mother and now just sort of adopted mother.
China, the wrestler?
No.
Oh, I love her, don't you?
I Joni Lore is awesome, but China was, she's a sort of Whitney Houston look-alike showgirl in Nashville who's just been awesome and helped me out so much.
Shout out to you, China. What makes you really mad? What makes Calpurnia angry?
I get so furious I can't see straight when someone is deliberately hurtful to me. I'll forgive any mistake. You can spill red wine on my wedding dress and I'll forgive you if it's a mistake. But if you specifically try to hurt my feelings, that makes me furious.
How should we get out of debt?
Make small payments every month.
I like that one.
That's good.
That's what I did.
If your vagina wrote its own monologue, what would it say?
It would say, welcome everyone.
So you were in Eve Ensler's The Vagina Monologues.
The transgendered version.
Yes, I directed and Andrea produced the first all trans cast of The Vagina Monologues here in LA.
And this was before or after your vaginoplasty?
It was after.
Okay, so because I was like, I still wanting to see someone without a vagina do the vagina.
I'm sure there was.
No, there was. There was different types of transgender women on there.
And so how was that experience taken by the audiences, which I'm kind of curious because I wasn't there and I would have loved to have been there.
Well, I cast women who had vaginoplasty and women who hadn't, just because I wanted to use the vagina as a symbol of womanhood, but not as a requirement of womanhood.
And that's why we ask this question at the end of every interview with a celebrity. And it's like everybody, it really is telling what someone says about them when you ask them if your vagina wrote its own monologue.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Their soft, their sensitive side, I think.
Acknowledging the cosmic power of the feminine in all of us.
That's true.
Yeah, and I wrote my own monologue for that performance, and it was about me calling my mother on the phone on the eve of my surgery to try to get her support. And I sort of go back in time through my memories of my mother in that monologue. It's on my website if anybody ever wants to see it.
That's Calpurnia.com, right?
Yes.
And now, what is one of your greatest weaknesses?
I want to be liked. And that's a hard thing sometimes.
Oh, yeah. You have to get over that.
And besides the violin, which you're a fabulous violin player, do you play any other musical instruments?
I used to play the accordion and...
you are so country, girl.
And piano and all kinds of things. And goodness, believe it or not, Andrea just pulled up to pick me up for our Hollywood party.
Well, we're done.
We're almost done here. Two questions.
What are you doing after the show? Andrea's picking you up. And
you're going to a cocktail party, right?
Yes.
And what happens to us when we die?
Goodness, it would be nice to believe in heaven, but I wouldn't mind just stopping when I die, actually.
Well, okay. Calpurnia, thank you so much
thank
for talking
to the
show.
Yes.
One last thing, Calpurnia, can you say, this is Calpurnia Adams, star of Trans American Love Story, and when I'm not busy trying to find myself a little romance, I like to listen to the Feast of Fools podcast.
Certainly. This is Calpurnia Adams of Trans American Love Story, and when I'm not looking for the next hot guy to have a good social conversation with, I'm listening to feastoffools.net.
Yay!
Thank you, Calpurnia.
Thank you, Calpurnia.
Thanks, Cal. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Calpurnia Adams lives in Los Angeles. Her new fabulous show, Trans American Love Story, find out how it plays out, is available on the iTunes Music Store. We recommend you getting the season pass so you don't have to, it automatically downloads just like a podcast
does. Just buy it through our links at feastoffools.net.
And it's $14 and you get all the episodes. So it's like pennies per serving, people.
So, see all the hot men.
So how was that for you, Kennedy? It's like you came face to face, well, ear, voice to ear.
Voice to ear.
With your diva.
Yes, me and Calpurnia do a lot of emails. So yeah, it was nice to hear her.
To hear her voice
and talking on the phone. Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. Well, that's it for
it
today.
Stunning. Was it stunning for you?
That was very stunning. Or as my words, sickening.
You say sickening?
Sickening. Okay, so this is, we're playing you some music from her, I guess, MySpace page, Once Upon a Nightmare. You can find out more about it by visiting our website, feastoffools.net.
Yeah, please visit the website and buy a t-shirt, make a donation, because without your support, we couldn't bring these fabulous shows to you. A portion of the sales from the red t-shirts and mugs goes to the Trevor Project, which helps youth in crisis.
And of course, if you have a comment, you can just comment on the bottom of the entry. Just go to feastoffools.net. On the bottom of the little thing, it says comments, and Calpurnia reads all of them. So if you want to get to know what Calpurnia thinks about you and vice versa, go check it out.
And I'm a comment whore, so comment.
Kennedy, we want to thank you so much for coming
on
the
show. Well, thank you, boys, thank you, Kennedy, for having me. I loved it.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
2 days in a row. So special.
So later this week, we're going to be in the fabulous city of Philadelphia. Ooh. Join us on Saturday night. We are going to, Mark Phelan and myself are going to be having a little meet and greet with some of the listeners in a gay bar. The venue is to be announced. Mm-hmm. So you can go to our website, feastoffools.net, and check that out. And the following week, we're going to be doing a live podcast from Steamworks. Saca la presión. We're going to be, it's going to be me, Mark Phelan, Sal E., Tracy Tyler, and porn star Vinny D'Angelo.
You can visit him at VinnyD'Angelo.com.
Is he 9x7?
I don't, he's
Vinny,
he's
Vinny
nice.
9x7. He is.
He's very nice.
And this one will put out.
Oh, I like that.
For a nominal fee.
He'll put out his porn for you to watch.
So yeah, actually it's going to be live, so you actually can hang out with us at Seymour. So you don't have to take your clothes off to have a good time.
And damn,
we recommend you just come in with your shoes, and that's it. So thank you so much, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.